Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam, rasuli kareem, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa ba'd. You know, I'm so impressed by the younger people that I was really enjoying listening, and I was figuring maybe I just listen and, you know, we do something else next time. This conference, as we were learning just a few minutes ago, is an opportunity for you to be able to make a transition in your life. Make your niyyah, inshallah, now that your intention is that you plan to leave this meeting better than the way you came. And one of those elements might be to begin to integrate a kind of dhikr of Allah in your every breath. To remember Allah, knowing that Allah remembers you, ought to make you feel so humble, and at the same time to make you feel wonderful, that subhanAllah, so-and-so remembered me. Earlier this week, there was a young sister who was a student, Altaf, with us at Howard many years ago. She now lives in Atlanta. But I knew that Tuesday was her birthday. And so I sent her a text, happy birthday. And my daughter and I, we sang happy birthday to her on the little video and sent it to her. And subhanAllah, she texted back, she said, "You remembered me." She was like, "Oh, subhanAllah. You love to be remembered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to be remembered." When I meet people, and people say, "Where are you from?" I say, "I'm American." They say, "No, originally." I said, "No, originally I'm American." "Well, what about your parents?" "Originally my parents were American." I said, "Well, before that then?" I said, "I don't know." They said, "How is it that you don't know?" I said, "Because I'm a descendant of slaves." They're like, "Well, we didn't think he was gonna go there." Right? Said, "But what I do know is that I'm from Turab." They said, "Turab, where's that?" I said, "Same place Adam is from." "Oh," I said, "guess what? That's where all of us are going." But then they say, "But I heard you speaking Arabic when you saw somebody. You said to them some words in Arabic. Why you speak Arabic if you're American? You just faking?" I said, no. I maybe there's some African Americans who are speaking Arabic because they're trying to be something that they're not. But me, I'm saying it because I want something to happen in our greeting. If I said to you, "Yo, Altaf, what's up?" You say, "Hey, man, what's up?" Right? If I say, "Sam, kayf al-haluk?" "Alhamdulillah." The reason that I greeted him with that greeting is because I wanted that greeting to have the praise of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr of Allah in my greeting. With not as an exception, I have a daughter in college. Whenever I call, I say, "How are you, honey?" She says, "Fine." Well, alhamdulillah. So for her, I don't have to say kayf al-halaka. But it is by creating the habit of injecting the remembrance of Allah in your discourse. And so that gives you at least a routine to allow you to engage in having a relationship with Allah. How many of you have a relationship with Allah? Raise your hand. Personal relationship with Allah. All right, one person from here, the brother with the striped shirt on in the front row. Yeah, you, that's you. What's your relationship? What's your relationship like with Allah? Strong how? Give me an example. Because remember the issue we talked about earlier, shukr is a verb. If I'm thankful to Allah, I've got taqwa with Allah. How would you say that to somebody else? I mean strong. I have a nice relationship with Allah. Okay, what's it like? What's it like, your relationship with Allah? I'm asking you. You raise your hand. A sister. Oh, now there ain't no sisters with you. They like, we was cool with, we have a relationship with. Go. Huh? Oh. What's your relationship like? I know he's a Rabb and you're the Abd. What's it like? You ask him when you need something, and what happens? I would challenge it. For many of us, we have a vicarious relationship with Allah. Our vicarious relationship with Allah is that I know that Allah is wonderful because I read that somebody else had a really great experience with Allah. I know that Ibrahim and Musa, they said, "Oh Allah, give us a sign so that we can, you know," and Allah is wondering to them, can you explain more about why you need to see the mountain, why you need to see the birds? I'm going to do something so you can see it. Why? Why? Why did they say, what was their answer to Allah? Why do they want, I want to see you, Allah. I want to know that you're there, Allah. Why? Not you, hand moving. Allah asked them, why you want that? What do they say? So that it will bring tranquility to my heart, will bring firmness. Not because I needed to believe in you. A lot of us, we believe in Allah, but that thing in our qalb, a lot of us don't have it. I would invite you in this weekend to try to get it, to look for it. Because you need to have a personal relationship with Allah. And if you don't, you're missing out on something really nice. You know, I think some of us, our relationship with Allah is like you have two kinds of friends. You have real friends, and then you have Facebook friends. I think some of your relationship with Allah is like a Facebook relationship. You know, you post, you know, five times a day, you post something to Allah, and then everybody sees it. To have this kind of personal relationship with Allah. One of my teachers, Muhammad Al-Hanuti, he said the word dhikr, By the way, you're a bad timekeeper. Because you don't tell the person, you just let them, you be like, yeah. Muhammad al-Hanuti, he said, when you think of the word dhikr, what's it mean? Dhikr? Remembrance. He said, I wouldn't say remembrance. He said, do you have an athlete that's the top athlete in their field? Give me a name. Don't say Kobe Bryant. Don't say Kobe Bryant. He got too much drama, brother. We need somebody else. Who? Okay, I don't know nothing about him. He must be all right. Right? When you think about them, you say, what is he probably thinking about right now? He's thinking about what? About that ball. He's focused on the game. You go to some of these athletes, oh, they got a big house or whatever, they got a gym in their joint. Why? Because they're sitting at the table and say, you know what? I think I need to go downstairs, shoot a few jumpers. Right? Because tomorrow's going to be the game. Oh, they wake up at night, they're dreaming about the jumper. They're obsessed. He said, that's what dhikr is like. Except that you have it for Allah. You've seen some sisters, they're obsessed with their complexion. So they're always looking. Right? Huh? How's my face look? They have dhikr for their face. It is possible for you to correct this by forcing yourself to consciously think about Allah. So when I go through a door, Bismillah, I eat something, Bismillah. Everything that I do, I'm always thinking, Subhanallah. It builds my connection. In Ramadan, the reason why Allah describes in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum, kama kutiba alladhina min kablikum la'alakum. Tatakun, the whole idea is for you to build a kind of connection and remembrance of Allah when you're going without eating, without drinking, without having, right? For the period of your fasting so that you can have that kind of, I was going to drink something, oh, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. La ilaha illallah, I'm so tired. My whole focus then becomes about Allah. And if you have that, it changes everything. Changes everything. Altaf, you grew up in the area they used to call Huff, right? Right? Your area they called Huff, they didn't call it Cleveland. That rough area, right? Huh? Yeah? When you're walking through that neighborhood at night, by yourself, right? You see some people coming. Mouth starts to get dry, right? Start looking behind you. You want to cross the street, right? But you're afraid to cross the street because if you cross the street, that means you're scared, right? So you try to kind of hold it together like you bad, right? Everybody can see that you're faking. But if you knew that you have two brothers walking with you, both of them are martial artists, and they bad, you see some people walking toward you, right? You're like, hey, man, some people walking toward us, man. Hey, how you doing, man? Right? Oh, you're calm, cool, collected. Why? Why? Because you got backups. If you knew that you had this closeness with Allah and that you always have backup, how would it change the way you do things? Your attitude would be different. Your confidence would be boosted. Your blood pressure would go down. You'd stop worrying about your complexion. You'd stop worrying about all of these external things because you say, you know what? I was only worried about those because of the consequences. But now, since I know that the consequence is Allah, then I'm not worried about it. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, anybody who memorizes the names of Allah, what do they get? What do they get? What do they get? They get paradise. Does that make sense? Why? I'd take you everywhere I go. So you'd be in the background, yeah. Listen, I have all the right answers. You know, hey. Does that make sense to you? How does that make sense to you? How does that make sense to you? I'm asking. How does it make sense to you? If you're the videographer, you're in trouble now. How does that make sense to you? You memorize some names, and in exchange for that, you get to go to Jannah. Go. Oh, he said, because it takes dedication and effort to remember them names. Right? He said it's not worth getting it though. I don't know how Allah got that. Think with me for a minute. How does that work? You memorize the names. And then, bingo, Jannah. You memorize what? Oh, she said, once you memorize them, you have to utilize them. I read a hadith one time, said, never did the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acquire, some riwayah say 3 ayahs, some say 10, but a small number, except at first they did what? They go to their friend, they said, did you hear what the Prophet said, something from Allah today? What did he say? Boom, boom, boom. They say, okay, teach me. So, because we're not all literate people, we don't write it down, we memorize it. That's our book. So everybody, they get a few ayat, they start memorizing them. What's the next step? Second step, step 2. They contemplated on them until they understood what they meant. Step 3. No. And they didn't learn more until they applied that to their daily lives. So if you have people who have that kind of attitude, if they are memorizing the names of Allah, the next step is to say, well, what does it mean to be Al-Razak? Now that I know what Al-Razak means, when I go into the boss and they say, well, Abdullah, you've been taking off for lunch on Friday and going to the mosque, and we can't have that. You say, well, I'm not sure if I understand exactly what do you mean. Well, I think I was clear, Abdullah, we can't have that. Said, I thought you guys knew when I started working here, I'm a Muslim. Right? And I've been working here for 5 years. I've been taking off for lunch. And I'm going to take off for lunch to go to the mosque. Oh, is that right? And by the way, my rizq comes from Allah. If you're going to fire me because of this, don't have a party and send out a big memo. Give me a gift. I'm out of here. Oh, Abdullah, please, you don't have to be like that. I'm just being clear. You're trying to sweat me. I know where my rizq comes from. Oh, Allah. Well, Abdullah, please, if just try to get back a little earlier. Thanks, boss. Appreciate that. And by the way, has this ever happened to anybody here? Yeah? Oh, yeah, the shaitan will come to him. The jealous co-worker, why does Altaf get to take an hour and a half off for lunch? Finally, you know what they say? Because Altaf is a Muslim. And you not, so you ain't taking off. When you know the names and the attributes of Allah, you are remembering Allah in your adhkar. It changes your attitude about your relationship with Allah. And when that changes, your attitude changes, then your behavior changes. Somebody said, you know, man, we're going to kill you. You said, oh, really? Why are you not nervous? I said, because Allah is the one who is in control of life and death. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. 3 minutes. When you know who is al-mulk, can't sweat me. I don't want to get shot, don't get me wrong, right? But if I'm going to get shot, I'm going to get shot anyway. So I'm not going to be groveling and begging. It's changed my attitude. How many of you could tell it that I'm probably a convert? Maybe. Something that I learned from the church. It's something that Muslims don't do. And I don't know why. And that is that we don't like to praise Allah for what Allah has done for us in public. Did you hear me? Now we might say, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You go to church, they say, I'm so grateful to God for, because I can see and I can hear and I can do this and that. And God helped me today with this and that. And they talk about their personal relationship with Allah and they tell people. And I was wondering, is this something that's okay for us to do as Muslims? And then I read about Surah Al-Duha. That when the Quran stopped coming to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the early days in Mecca, and then Allah revealed this surah to console him, to let him know that just because we weren't communicating through Jibreel, I hadn't forgotten about you. I'm still remembering you. Don't feel that you're rejected. I'm with you. And that your best days are in front of you. But Allah closes this surah saying what? Duha. وَأَمَّا بِالنِّعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Tell people about me. Tell them about your relationship with me. Because when you're doing that, you're remembering me. I'm going to close with a short story. Because for some of you, maybe this might might reach you. Because the law is real. And when you have a real relationship, you can feel it. Many years ago, before they had regular people had cell phones, people in the hospital used to, especially in the hospital, used to carry beepers. See, when you're black, you have to say that. So yeah, I used to carry a beeper. They'd be like, dope dealer. So work in the hospital, carry a beeper. One day, I went out into the big field to fly a kite with my children. No wind. So I got this string and the kite, and I'm running. And no, it's not going nowhere. Then I go the other way, and we're running back across. So we just ran all across the field. Got close. Time of Maghrib, I said, okay, kids, we're going to have to go home now. I can't find my pager. This is not good. I said, okay, kids, hurry up, quick. You hold my hand on the right, you hold my hand on the left. We're going to walk across the field, and then we get to the end, we walk across the field, and we're going to be very scientific about how we're going to find Dad's overpriced pager. Because I don't want to, you know, go back to the hospital and explain why, you know. We did everything humanly possible to find it. Nothing. Start getting dark. I said, okay, let's go home and pray Maghrib. SubhanAllah, during the night, I start thinking, I gotta go back in the morning. I'm gonna start looking again. Drop my children off early in the morning and go back to the field now. There's dew on the ground. I said, this is ridiculous. There's no way humanly possible in a field that may be 10 times the size of this basketball court, I'm going to be able to find this. I said, wow. I just remembered. I didn't ask Allah. I said, Ya Allah, I am sorry that I didn't call on you first. I forgot about you. I said, Ya Allah, I know that you are the Rabb of the Sama and the Ard. I know you're keeping all of the planets spinning in their orbit. I know that you can hear me on this little speck inside the Milky Way galaxy. And I know that if you want me to have my device back, you can give it to me. Allah, even if you don't return it to me, I still believe in you. But I would like for you, if you like, to return it to me. Because you got to say that. You got to say, don't can't say, Allah, you know, this is a condition. My love for you, Allah, is unconditional. I took two steps in the grass, and subhanAllah, I found my pager. Takbir. 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 I was like, wow, that was very impressive, Allah. Jalal Jalalahu. I'm going to invite you to have that relationship with Allah. To rely on Allah, to look for Allah's help. And it'll convert your relationship. It won't be vicarious anymore. Alhamdulillah, if you keep your tongue and your lips wet with the dhikr of Allah, that Allah would transform your affairs and make you successful in this life and in the hereafter. Assalamu alaikum.